I thought it was kind of cute. It's Thanksgiving Sunday, so I'm going to have Allison put it up. And I hope you can read it. If you can't, I'm going to read it for you. There's two turkeys that are just talking with each other. One has his cell phone in his hand, and here's what he says to the other. Dude, I have a ton of online followers, and they all want to have me over for dinner on Thanksgiving. So I thought it was kind of cute. Good conversation between two turkeys. They are certainly popular around Thanksgiving time. Okay. Today is our final message in the series, The Glory Days. Actually, this is our 14th message. It's been a rich series for me. I hope that you've enjoyed it as well. And today is part 14, and the title of the message is this: God Fights for You. God fights for you. We've talked about glory days and what that means. And when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, they had 7 years of unbridled success. They literally conquered 31 kings. They claimed tens of thousands of miles, square miles, and they just lived a season of life with a certain mindset that God blessed. Friends, God wants you and me to experience the glory days of life, even in the midst of the pandemic and the chaos in our country. Here's a quote on the sermon listening guide if you're following along. Not only does God desire that you live the promised land life, but he fights for you so you can. Here's the kernel thought. Whatever you're going through in life, understand, number one, God wants you to live the promised land life. He wants you to experience glory days. But he fights for us so that we can, in fact, experience that victory. I read a story about a little boy by the name of Bobby. He was in fourth grade, and he was a real small guy. And there were some sixth grader that decided to kind of pick on him. And so Bobby was bullied by a sixth grader. He's a fourth grader. One day, the sixth grade boy came up to him and said, "Hey, after school, I'm going to beat you to a pulp." Bobby just kind of took it in stride and he says, "Okay." You see, what the sixth grader bully did not know was that Bobby had a brother who was in the 11th grade. And the 11th grade brother would meet up with Bobby after school and walk him home. Bobby had no fear. You know why? He knew his brother would defend him when he was outsized and outnumbered by a bully sixth grader. You know, life has a way of bullying us, does it not? It beats us up. It wears us down. We become intimidated, and what happens over time, we end up living in the wilderness. We march around mile after mile in a place of confusion and doubt. That's what the children of Israel did. But they finally got to a place when God gave them the opportunity to enter the promised land. They went after it, and they began to live the glory days. You and I can live there as well. God invites us to. He enables us to. He empowers us to be able to live the promised land life. So today, here's what I want to do. I want to share with you four simple thoughts of how God fights for us. In other words, God is there on our behalf for us to experience the depth of victory that only he can give. And I want to share with you four simple ideas of how he can help us do that. If you have your notes, the sermon listening guide, we'll get started. Here it is. Number one, how does God fight for us? Number one, he gives us victory one battle at a time. He gives victory one battle, one fight at a time. Now, in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua is now 110 years old. He He's up in years. He's about to die. And he's giving a recap, an encouragement to the people to continue on. I want to read for you verses 1 through 3. It's on the sermon listening guide. Or if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua 23. Here's what it says. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all the enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, 110, summoned all Israel, their leaders, elders, judges, officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Joshua gets to the end of his life, looks back, and recounts the victories. And you know what he said? He gave thanks and praise to God that it was God who fought for them. It wasn't just Joshua. It was God acting on behalf of the people to do something they could not do for themselves. Now, in Joshua 12, this is really amazing. There's a list of all the kings they defeated. There were 31. And it says, these are the kings of the land that Joshua and the Israelites conquered on the west side of Jordan. Now, if you have your Bible, open it up. I'm gonna read a couple of these and then and explain why they put it this way. They list the king of Jericho. Now, remember Jericho, the fortified city, double walls around it? That's where the people walked around it for 7 days. And then on the seventh day, they did seven laps around it. They shouted, and the walls fell down. It says the king of Jericho, and then off to the right-hand side, the right column, it says one. Now, what Joshua is doing, or what the written word here, they're making a list of all their victories. Here's the second one, the king of Ai. That's when God's people went out and they just conquered the people. And out to the right it says, one. How about the king of Jerusalem? One. The king of Hebron. Remember Caleb? Caleb was one of the 12 spies who went in 45 years earlier. And he went and they came back. And he and Joshua believed they could enter the land. But 10 spies said they couldn't. And they didn't have enough faith. And here's what God said to Caleb many years earlier. I will give you the land you walked on. So when he got into Canaan, into the Hebron area, 45 years later, he conquered that territory. It was the ancestral tomb or the burial place of Abraham and Sarah. He wanted Hebron. Everybody needs a Hebron in their life, something you get excited about, something you have passion for, something you want to give your life to. And out to the right, it says one. And 31 kings are listed, Joshua chapter 12, 31 times to the right-hand side, it says one. God did it one battle at a time. I want to talk about your list. You have victories in your life that you can write out the same thing. How about this? Maybe there was a time where you sank into depression, but you rose out of it. That's one. How about you lost a loved one? You wondered if you could ever recover, but you eventually did it to keep living life to the fullest. One. How about an explosive temper, maybe in the early days, but now it's under control? One. How about guilt from your past? Maybe a mistake or a bad choice, a bad decision, and the guilt has been very heavy, but you found freedom over time through your faith. One. Maybe you're abused as a child, but you're stable as an adult. God helped you to get the other hand. One. How about being tempted with drugs in the early years, but today you're sober and you're steady? One. How about you being hurt by a friend? maybe in a marriage, or something didn't turn out the way you thought it would, or a betrayal, but you're recovering and you're healed. One. You see, you can make your own list of the ways that God has helped you recover, and He does it one battle at a time. I want you to know, God will fight for you so that you can overcome, and the battles are won one victory at a time. Number two, here's the second thing of how God fights for us. He drives out the enemies in our life. He drives out the enemies of our life. I want to read for you, Jenna, you can click to the second one there, Allison. Joshua 23, it says, "Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain. The nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Great Sea in the west, the Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you." I want you to understand in this text, there's powerful wording in which Joshua says, the Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. I got a question. What needs to be driven out of your life? What is it that needs to get pushed out? And here's what drive out means. It means to thrust out, to depose, to overthrow, to defeat, to push out, to conquer, to topple, to destroy, to put to death, to cast away, to overcome. God will do all that because he wants to fight for you. What do you need him to drive out in your own life? He'll do it. But I want you to tell you what he wants to give you. When he says he'll push it out and drive it out, and then it says you will take possession, he wants to give you freedom. I found that the greatest struggles of my own life are often on the inside. It's the pockets of guilt. It's the pockets of wrong thinking. It's the behavioral patterns where I'm against myself. But when God can get a square inch or two of new territory in me, I find freedom. It's something I have to take possession, I have to work out. But the second point is, hey, God will drive out the enemies of your life if we let him and stay focused on him. So number one, he gives victory one battle at a time. Number two, he drives out the enemies of our lives. Number three, we must be obedient in following God. We have to be obedient. In your notes, Joshua 23, 6 through 8, I want to read these instructions that he gave the people. Be very strong. Be careful to obey. That's it. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. I want to talk to you about the importance of obedience. I read a story about Michael Jordan. This goes back to 1990. The date of this article is March 29th. And they asked Michael Jordan in an interview what he considered to be his greatest game. And he says, well, that would have to be when the Chicago Bulls played the Cleveland Cavaliers. Here's what happened. Michael Jordan had a career high 69 points in one game. They won the game 117 to 113. They won by 4 points in an overtime victory. Now get a load of this. Michael Jordan made 23 of 27 field goal attempts. That's an 85% making the basket. That's amazing. He scored 21 out of 23 foul shots. That's 91%. And he said it was just one of those nights where it all came together, and he scored 69 points. The team won. He was ecstatic. He had a teammate by the name of Stacy King. Stacy King scored 1 point. 1 point. And he made this comment about that same game. He says, this is Stacy saying, I always remember this night as the night that Michael Jordan and I combined to score 70 points. So he's saying, hey, I remember this because together Michael, who scored 69, Stacy scored 1, we scored 70 points together. Well, it's kind of a cute story, a cute line, but there's a great application point in it. You see, in Matthew chapter, I believe 11, Jesus says this. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Jesus invites us to become yoked to him. A yoke is a wooden instrument that goes across two animals that can pull together with amazing force. And Jesus says he wants us to become yoked, connected, walking in step with him. And when we do that, he says he can do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. When we yoke our lives, we might only score 1 point, but Jesus Christ himself carries the load in a more powerful way. And he just moves us forward and brings victory in our life because he fights for us. In Joshua 23, 9 to 11, here's what he wrote. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs a thousand because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. Did you pick up on it? One person can rout a thousand. You might feel like the odds in your life of getting victory over a habit, overcoming a circumstance in your life, maybe it's a hurt or unfairness, maybe you feel like it's 1,000 to 1 against you. Listen, when you and I obey God, we follow his leading, we submit to his yoke, we do it his way, we humble ourselves, we become united with him. You know what? Your life can rout 1,000 people because you are yoked, you are connected with, and you're obedient to Christ, and he allows you to experience victory in a new way. So, we just have to be obedient. Joshua said, be very careful to love the Lord your God. Fan the flame of love towards Jesus in your spiritual life. That's where the victory comes when we are yoked together. One person can rout 1,000 because of his power released in our life. Well, there's a fourth point I want to share. And let me review. The first one, he gives victory one battle at a time. He drives out the enemies in our life. We have to be obedient in following God. Number four, here it is. We have to unsheath God's promises. We have to unsheath God's promises. I want to read verse 14. It's in your notes. It says, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all of God's good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Not one. Every promise was fulfilled. Not one has failed. I want to talk about unsheathing the promises of God to apply them to your heart. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about the armor of God that you and I have to get dressed on every day. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, We need to have shoes and feet that are ready to share the gospel. But there's one weapon that's an offensive weapon. Everything else is protection except this, the sword. And in verse 17, here's what Paul says about the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, you and I have to unsheath the promises of God. And by that I mean we need to pull them out. And we need to apply them to our heart. And we need to take them and we need to anchor to them in life. And as we live our life believing what God says about us, you're forgiven, your sins are taken away, you're a new person, I have a good future for you. We literally take those promises and they become a sword in which we go through life. And as we lift that sword and those promises up to our circumstances and the things that aren't the way we want them in life, God fights for us. And the power of His Spirit is released into our lives, and He changes us and He changes circumstances. Joshua 1:8, here's what Joshua said. Or God was speaking to him, "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Joshua's now 110 years old. You know what he did for his life? He embraced the promises of God. He unsheathed them. He took them out and he made them his own. And he built his life around the promises of God. He's now 110, about to die. And he says, you know what? Not one of those promises failed. All of them were fulfilled. You see, not only does God desire that you live in the promised land, He wants to fight for you so that you can. Well, as we close out this series and today's message, I want to say a personal, during the online Bible study that we had with people from different states, we had a great time. But one of the challenges at the very end was this. Did we believe or do we believe that the next 7 years of our life could be the best 7 years? I mean, people on that call were all different ages. And the question was, do we believe the promises of God that the next 7 years can be the best 7 years? And we were all encouraged as we shared different thoughts and you know, Sue Ruppel says we need to look up before we look forward. I mean, people had different nuggets, but here's my closing thought to you. God wants to fight for you. He wants to act on your behalf. He does that one battle at a time. He drives out the enemy. We have to be obedient to follow Him and stay yoked to Him. And we need to unsheath God's promises and build our life around what He says about us, so that we can live in the promised land. I want to close by living the Glory Days Declaration in Mac's book. And I'll have Allison put it up on the screen, but here's how it goes. These days are glory days. My past is past. My future is bright. God's promises are true, and His word is sure. With God as my helper, I will be all He wants me to be, do all He wants me to do, and receive all He wants me to receive. These are the glory days. I hope that the days ahead are glory days for you. I'm going to close in prayer, and my question to anyone listening is, number one, have you ever received Christ into your life so that you can take that step of faith and you can enter into a new position, a new sense of creation of what Christ can do for you? I'm going to pray for you in a moment. But then I want to pray for a second group of people. Maybe you're a believer today, but you feel like you're in the wilderness. And God is calling you to go into the promised land, the land of Canaan. He wants to fight for you. And today, the tug of your heart is that you want more. You want more of him to drive out the enemies of your life so that you can live in a place of victory and to know the inheritance, your territory that God wants to give you just because you have a love and a desire to serve him. So let's bow together in prayer. If you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, just pray this simple prayer after me. Father in heaven, thank you that you love me and value me. Forgive me of trying to live life my way. I ask forgiveness of all my sins. I believe that Jesus died on a cross and rose again the third day. And he lives forevermore. And right now, by faith, I open the door of my heart and I invite Jesus Christ into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Be my deliverer. Be my conqueror. From this day forward, it's in your name I pray. And Father, I pray for every person listening this morning. Whatever the situation in their life, I ask for the favor of your Spirit to speak to their hearts that you will fight for them. And they can enter and live in the promised land, and the next 7 years would be the best 7 years of their life, all because they've unsheathed the promises of God, applied them to their heart. They've believed and trusted in you, and you, God, will fight for them. Lord, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.